to learn the form? Why are there different length forms? And what does the elusive notion of time tell us about supermarket shopping, radioactive apples, and the legacy of Steve Jobs? Find out today on this week's episode of Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. And welcome back to Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Today, in part three of the series on the Tai Chi form, we're going to be exploring the notion of time and the notion of sometime. Sometimes, when I'm in the supermarket, pondering the short shelf life of vegetables, wondering what they may have been sprayed with to make them glow from such a distance, someone will come up to me and say, "Hey, Teapot Monk, I quite fancy learning Tai Chi, but I've heard that it takes forever and a day. Tell me," they say, "how long does the form take to learn? And is it true that you remain a beginner for the first 20 years of your practice?" So I usually push my trolley to one side, return the radioactively bright red apples back into their lead containers, and nonchalantly throw the question back. In how much of a hurry are you to stop learning? For you see, the process of learning is a gift, not a chore. When we stop learning, we stagnate. And this isn't just my own crazy idea. I teach languages too, and there's a ton of research out there that says if you learn a new language as you get older, then your mind continues to develop to create new connections between neurons and help prevent mental degeneration. This is also true for the body and the practice of Tai Chi. So I ask again, exactly why are you in such a hurry for this process to end? And then I glance back at the radioactive vegetables and ponder some more. And this brings us on to today's subject. What's it all about? Because on the surface, we're talking about time, duration, and the slow steps towards acquiring another way of life. And let's be honest here, Tai Chi Chuan is not simply a martial art, an exercise for rejuvenation, a method of meditation and movement. These are all attributes of many other disciplines. What distinguishes this art is its profound depths and potential to change the very direction we're heading in. And if we don't change the direction we're heading in, then we may just end up arriving there. And we wouldn't want that now, would we? If we let it, if we're truly open to changes, and we know how to interpret the language of intuition. Well, Steve Jobs said it well. He said, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking, and don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. Most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary." So each step in the form is a wonderful transition, for each step opens us to another way of interacting with the world. So I ask again and again, what's the rush? I once had a student who came to me from a Wing Chun class. He wanted to incorporate some of the lessons of Tai Chi into his fighting style and said that he would like to learn the form within just 3 months. Uh-oh. We trained early in the mornings in a park in London, and over those 3 months, he did learn the form. His form was a reasonable copy of mine. He had used what I call the tracing paper method and duplicated more or less the appearance of my form.
Uh-oh.
But it said nothing about him. And if you look closer, it was neither soft nor circular. Instead, it was linear and tense and punctuated by too many stops and starts, for he could only see the postures. He was blind to the transitions.
Uh-oh.
We had no time to explore what lay underneath the surface. That which oozes out slowly, and only through the patient study of the subtleties and the recognition of the importance of transitions. Only then, after that depth of study, can you claim to know anything of Tai Chi. The greatest lesson that Tai Chi teaches us is that the benefits are in the doing, not the achieving. If it takes you a lifetime to learn, if you stay a beginner for 20 years, then you are indeed lucky, as the benefits will stay with you too. If you speed learn the form, then you'll only end up skipping the slow detail, and it is in the slow awakening of detail that you find the real treasure.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes, when I'm in the baker's, someone will stop me and say, "Hey, Teapot Monk, before you disappear with that packet of croissants, tell me, which form is best to learn? Is it the short form, the long form, the old form, the combined form, the weapons form, partner forms?" And I tell them, hang on. The only form you need to concern yourself with is the one you end up signing when you take on a course of Tai Chi. Worry about that one, I say, not any of the others. Make sure you don't sign anything silly like, "I agree to only buy my Chinese slippers from Sifu when he deems it necessary." Or look out for those clauses that say, "I will purchase a new satin suit every new moon. Here's my deposit."
Uh-oh.
Sometimes, when I'm in the mobile phone shop, querying why, in this day and age, my unused data allowance cannot be carried over to the following month, someone will come up and say, "Hey, aren't you the Teapot Monk?" And I say, "I might be." He said, "Well, tell me this. Why bother with the long form when the short form is shorter?" So I put to one side this rather lickable phone case that I'd been considering and say, "It is true. Certainly the tendency these days is to focus more on the short form. This may just be a reflection of our waning attention spans, or perhaps just a reflection of our multifarious commitments in this increasingly networked and interconnected world." I then wave a smartphone at the questioner's face to reinforce my point. Whatever the reason, the popularity of the shorter forms have permitted people with less energy and less time to learn some aspect of Tai Chi. These shorter forms essentially remove much of the repetition present in the long versions. Chen Manqing said that you should practice his short form for between 7 and 12 minutes to get the full benefit. And I think this probably touches upon the real debate about long versus short, about time, intuition, and our slow passage through this worldly paradise. It is really about concentration and focus, not the number of postures.
Hallelujah.
You can practice the long form quickly and without focus, or you can practice the short form slowly and with concentration. Any instructor would rather see more of the latter than that of the former. In short, focus your practice on quality rather than the number of minutes or postures in the form. Leave others to debate such trivia. Focus, and in focusing, you will find the depth of insight you seek. And as for the long form, it's well worth learning, but not at the expense of quality over duration. Always remember that Tai Chi is a tool that you adapt to where you are and who you are. Start and let the circumstances and energy roll you forward until the time is right to stop. And that's all we have time for this week, as we conclude this short series on the form. Having said that, it may roll forward a little to next week too, as I've just thought of something else I haven't yet mentioned. There was this time when I was in the newsagents flickering through this month's copy of the digital Sifu, when someone came up and asked me, "Oh well, maybe next week." For an alternative look at the Internal Arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the two classic texts on Tai Chi, The Manual of Being Heard Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at beingheardboxer or email beingheardboxer@gmail.com.